Hello, Benny.
Honestly, you two gibberers.
Mate. Well, fair dinkum. TK.
Jared is tall, though.
TK
he is tall. Jared's tall.
Yeah, Ben, if you go on Twitter, there's a photograph of a guy, Dick Fane, our American correspondent, standing 4 inches smaller than Hayne Plain.
Okay.
And TK reckons Dick Fane's tall. It's a ridiculous
that might make comment. Him about 6 foot. I think Jared Hayne stands about 6'3", 6'4", doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
So he's under 6 foot, Dick Fane.
No, he'd be 6 foot, Dick.
you just say things without thinking.
I just realised what I did say without thinking.
Oh, mate, the finals preview. We've got two crackers. We start on Friday with the Roosters taking on the Rabbitohs and then the Panthers and the Bulldogs.
No, I know. I can't wait. Off the back of last weekend, too. 1 point victories to the Roosters and the Dogs. This is, well, it should be exciting footy. The Rabbitohs and the Roosters, I mean, this is kind of a game I think most would have loved to see happen a week later, but here we are. We're in week three and we've got it.
I don't reckon, Ben. I reckon it's good because I reckon we get two grand finals back to back.
Yeah, it's not a bad point for Sydney team. So it's a bit of criticism for the crowds last week because I don't think the two games of NRL finals matched the Swans game, did it? Homebush. So
no, but that's...
What are we thinking?
Solution.
Are they going to turn out in their droves?
I think they will, mate. I'm really hopeful of 60,000 for Roosters Rabbits.
Yep.
And I reckon we should get 45, Penrith Canterbury.
Both games at ANZ Stadium, so we can... you think we can crack the 100,000?
Oh, mate, I'd love to think so. In fact, crowds are up from the corresponding finals last year.
Yeah, no, the other thing you've got to take into account is that the Swans were in week three, and that was probably the last chance that most Sydney Swans fans were going to have to see their team play, because now they're heading to Melbourne, of course. But back onto the league, and as I was saying, one apiece this year for the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. They played each other twice. They bookended the season, so round one and round 26. If you go back to round one, you remember the Rabbitohs blew them away, and it kind of happened the opposite way in the last game of the regular season. The Roosters got out the flyer and the Rabbitohs sort of come home fast. I just think that the Rabbitohs' greatest strength is that they're big, they're fast, they're athletic, and they play with a little bit of skill, but they've got to, and this is not to kind of quote Wayne Bennett and bring this whole predictability thing back up, but they play a fairly simple brand of footy. And in big games, in high-pressure games, that can work in your favour. But what they're great at is they play fast, up-tempo, strong, tough rugby league for long periods of time. Yeah. That takes a lot of energy. And if this week off has done anything for the Rabbitohs, I think it's rested them up and allowed them to come out this week and play that brand of footy better than if they had been bashed up last week. So the Rabbitohs are favourites, and I think deservedly so, although... there was a bit of criticism come for the Roosters last week because they squandered that 30-point lead, but Trent Robinson's quite right. I mean, that's happened any number of times across the season in games, and I haven't quite figured out what he was trying to say in the coach's call this week, that the rule changes might have sort of dragged these big momentum swings in games front and centre this year, but I'll try and wrap my head around that. But he's not generally wrong, the Roosters coach, but it's going to be a cracker. And the other one, the Panthers and the Dogs, Saturday night could be just as good. I mean, how are you guys feeling about the Panthers? Because I'm one of those so-called experts that 6 weeks to go in the regular season, I think the Panthers got beaten by the Sharks out at Bathurst.
Yes.
They lost Peter Wallace to a season-ending injury. I just thought, they'll just start the slide now, but they won't go away.
No, they've earned the respect now. I see them beating the Bulldogs.
You do?
Yeah, I just think the way they've played, their confidence is way up. So long as they start minute one, not minute 20 of the...
They play 80 minutes, mate. They're $2.40, Ben, at tab.com.au, up against Canterbury, $1.65. But as Des Hasler said, what would bookmakers know?
The Panthers' greatest strength, in my view, is how well-organised they are in defence. You know, you say they play 80 minutes. That's one thing, is that they're a bit like the Manly Seagulls. For a long period of time, Manly just... They matter... Whenever you thought you had them beat, they'd rise again. They just don't go away. And you can dominate for sort of 10 minutes against the Panthers. And before you know it, another 10 minutes into the game and they're sort of only 2 points off you, and that kind of can get frustrating. And I wonder if not whether or not that will frustrate the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs will try and build a big early lead against the Panthers. But what Ivan Cleary's been able to coach into his side is this really clever decision-making. So in the modern game, in defensive structures, what they do is most coaches now have this, they have a set of rules. So there's a whole heap of things that you've got to do in certain situations and things that you don't do. And Penrith are one of the best teams in the comp to taking those set of rules from their coach going out and, as you've rightly pointed out, TK, playing to them for the best part of 80 minutes. So I think that's their greatest strength. And at the end, if they do end up beating the Bulldogs, it'll be the fact they frustrate the Dogs into making errors that gets them home this weekend.
Benny, we're shocked this morning. Not that we wish anything ill upon Josh Jackson after that chicken wing tackle on Josh Starling. Then you saw Starling get up, throw the ball in the back of the head of Jackson. Then you saw the punch from Starling, blah, blah, blah. But,
yes,
geez, it looked like a chicken wing.
Yeah, no, it was a chicken wing. It just
So why isn't he charged?
I can't get my head around that one.
Yeah.
We're
struggling with it. Yeah.
Because I just think a chicken wing, they're saying that, you know, his arm didn't get beyond the natural sort of extension of the body in the match review committee. But what we're trying to stamp out of the game is using arms or legs or ankles or calves or necks as levers to win control in the tackle. And that's exactly what Josh Jackson did in this particular tackle last week.
See, he let go of him, but that doesn't matter. He still had him in a chicken wing.
To fight to get him on his back. Yeah. He used his arm as a lever. That's a chicken wing, even if it's a grade one.
Correct.
It's still a chicken wing tackle.
Yep.
Yeah, and now it beggars belief. And, you know, while we're on the punching thing, what I can't get my head around, and I know I'm a bit of a man on an island here when I say this, but... If you're a coach in the NRL and you know that if one of your players throws a punch, he's going to get 10 in the bin. And there's a chance that if you open palm a guy in the head, that the referee might look at that or the video referee might look at that and say that was a punch, then isn't the message to the player, don't take the risk? Don't make contact in the head, whether it's an open-handed slap, palm, whatever, because the chance of you getting sent to the bin for 10 minutes is too high. But that could end up costing your team. I don't understand why we continue to argue the rules. You get them at the start of the year. That's what they are. Let's figure out a way to take advantage of those rules or at least play to them so we don't cost ourselves a victory or at least a player off the field for 10 minutes.
Makes sense.
Benny, the Tigers, mate, who do you see taking that job?
Oh, it's a tough one. Look, the initial mail was Matt Parrish, and then last week everybody was saying Anthony Griffin had been given the job and, in fact, would bring down his assistant coach from the Broncos, Christian Wolf. But I see yesterday Nathan Brown's prepared to fly back.
Yeah.
I'm getting the sense that this board, while they haven't got great football DNA, great rugby league DNA, with the three new independent directors mainly bringing big business experience, that would lend itself to going through a thorough process with some help. So what they'll do is they'll invite applications, they'll short this down to a few candidates and make sure that they end up having a half a day with each of the shortlisted contenders to get their head around who they want to choose. Because if you don't, the less you know about the game, the more difficult it is to make these football-related decisions.
Yeah.
So I think you'll end up with Nathan Brown on the shortlist, Anthony Griffin, Jason Taylor, David Kidwell, and possibly Matt Parrish. So it'll be one of those five. I know that didn't answer your question, but I guess to save a bit of face at the moment, this new look West Tigers board has to make sure that they go through the right and proper process to come up with a new coach.
Wayne Bennett, first day in the job yesterday as the Broncos coach. He scrapped the co-captain arrangement between Corey Parker, Justin Hodges. He declares he'll never leave the Broncos. He might have probably put voluntarily there. and he knows, he'll know when his time's up. He's got a 3-year deal. He wants Darius Boyd and Russell Packer.
It was very front foot, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well,
and I think that's what he intended. The commentary up here in Queensland this morning, I think one of the lines were that gravitas had returned to Brisbane. And that's kind of what the great man brings with him. Such a wonderful record. Had 3 years at Newcastle that sort of didn't wholly go to plan, but he arrived yesterday and I watched the press conference online and made a whole heap of statements that I think he'd been sitting on for a couple of months. So once he decided to come home, he'd watched closely what was unfolding up here and knew, I guess, the things he needed to change in the short term. And he wanted to set the tone with the media and everybody that was watching that what has been happening here for the last few years, while a lot of it was good, some needed to change, and that he wasn't going to shy away from making the tough decisions. So everybody stood up and took notice. I think a couple of months ago when he first announced, he was on the back page of the Courier Mail as Obi-Wan Kenobi. And today I picked up the Courier Mail, and his dream has come true. He's been dressed up as Clint Eastwood. He's idol. Yeah.
He's the man.
The sheriff's back in town, apparently.
He certainly is. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, gents.